In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel text for today, our Lord Jesus is continuing his ministry in the Gentile territories. He has just come from the region of Tyre and Sidon, where he cast the demon out of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. He now journeys south around the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis, another Gentile area, where he will, in the very next chapter of Mark's gospel, feed the 4,000. And so our Lord Jesus, here in this section of Mark's gospel, is continuing to bring the kingdom of God even among the Gentiles. On this occasion, though, in today's gospel text, it is a deaf-mute man who will experience this coming of the kingdom of God. This man is described as deaf and having a speech impediment, which is a fairly accurate description. Classically, he's called the deaf-mute, but it's not as if this man were unable to utter any kind of sound out of his mouth. The issue is that he cannot speak clearly, as we see in the reversal of that reality after the healing, that he is now able to speak plainly or rightly. So the problem is not that this man cannot speak, at least that's not the root problem. The problem is his inability to hear. He is deaf. And because he is deaf, he is not able to speak rightly. That is because one who cannot hear also cannot speak rightly. Now, this man is brought to Jesus. Whether he knows what is going on or not is anybody's guess. What is the motivation for him being brought there likewise is anyone's guess. We don't know anything about these people that brought him. Are they his friends who genuinely desired his healing? Maybe. Could they just be people who saw him on the street and were desiring to see a miracle from this renowned miracle worker named Jesus? Could be as well. Either way, this man is brought to Jesus in order to be healed. And our Lord agrees that he will heal him, and notice the manner in which this healing takes place. First of all, Jesus takes his finger and places it into the ear of the deaf man. And then spitting, he touches the tongue, he sighs, and he looks up to heaven. But it is not any of these rituals or gestures which brings about the healing of this man. Our Lord has consented to heal him, but he will not give a miraculous display, a spectacle to behold. That's why he has brought this man off by himself to do this healing. No, it is not the rituals and it is not the gestures that heal this man. It is the word of Christ which heals him. Ephatha. That Aramaic word uttered by our Lord is a command. It means be open. And so our Lord Jesus' word is powerful. When he commands the deaf to hear, men who couldn't otherwise hear anything, his word is powerful and accomplishes that. It brings about healing so that the blind can see, and in this case, so that the deaf can hear. His word of Christ is powerful. Just as the word of God in the beginning brought creation into existence out of nothing simply by his word, so too now, as the brokenness of this creation that was brought about by sin is now being undone, recreated in a sense, simply by the word. And so we're told that this man's hearing is restored, and it is only after his hearing is restored then that the bonds of his tongue are loosed, and he is then able to speak. And what happens next is a bit curious. Jesus commands this man and those who were with him not to tell anyone what has happened. Much speculation has happened as to why Jesus says this. But Jesus has his reasons, whatever they might be. The point is, when Jesus speaks, when Jesus gives a command, it's a command that we must obey, whether we understand its rationale or not. And so these men who blatantly disregard our Lord's command, the more that he commanded them, the more that they proclaimed it, they're sinning, even though it seems to us to be a good thing to do. One cannot speak rightly unless first informed by the word of Christ, just as this deaf and mute man could not speak at all until the word of Christ came to him. Now, there is speech of these men at the end of our text, which is commendable, even though their proclamation of what happened was against our Lord's command. Still, in addition to that proclamation, they also praise the Lord Jesus. And this praise is commendable. It is never forbidden by the Lord to praise him. It's right to praise him for his goodness in bringing about healing. And so these men praise the Lord by saying, he has done all things well. Or we might say, what he has done is very good. The language here is actually reminiscent of creation. Recall when the Lord God formed the heavens and the earth and all that is in them at the end of each of the 6 days where he was active in creating. At the end of each of those days, there is a refrain. The Lord saw what he had made, and behold, it was good. It was good. It was good. And finally, at the end of the sixth day, it was very good. Beautiful, even. This is how these men are describing what they have seen. Jesus' word has brought about this restoration of the deaf and mute man. And behold, it is very good, beautiful even. See, God is restoring his broken creation through his word. That's why Christ came to this earth, to right all the wrongs of sin, to bring his kingdom among us, and to restore creation through his word. Now, this story of Jesus healing this deaf and mute man is an allegory for how he works among us. That, of course, is not to deny the historicity of it. Of course, it happened, but it also is instructive for us. Just as the apostle writes that the things of the Old Testament were written for our instruction, so too was this written for our instruction. This is how Jesus works among us today. The deaf and mute man is representative of all men apart from Christ. Our old synodical catechism in the explanation had some language to talk about who you and I are apart from Christ. It said that we are blind, dead, and enemies of God apart from the Spirit's working and bringing us to faith in Christ. We might paraphrase that language with this text and say that apart from Christ, we are deaf and mute and enemies of Christ. That is to say, we are separated from him. We have no good apart from him. We are not able to hear the goodness that he proclaims to us. We are not able to speak anything worthwhile without him. We are like the deaf mute man apart from Christ. And again, the manner in which this healing takes place is important and instructive for us because this is how Christ heals us. This is how his Spirit brings us to faith. It is not by gestures and rituals and miraculous displays. Christ heals us and brings us to faith by his word. He brings us to faith by the word of the gospel that is proclaimed, by the word that is attached to the water that bestows the Holy Spirit in holy baptism. And he sustains us in faith by the word that is attached to the bread and the wine in the sacraments. And this is just as important as being brought to faith. We must be sustained in that faith, because the world around us is broken, and despite our Lord's efforts to restore the brokenness of the world, he has not fully brought that about yet. The world remains broken in many ways. And so we must be sustained in the faith to which he has brought us. This too happens by his word. Because in our day, God restores his broken creation through his word, and he sustains us in this kingdom into which we have been brought through his word. This is why the Apostle Paul writes in today's epistle reading, instructing us about what it means to be fully dependent on the Lord. The Apostle says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. All that we have, all good things, come from the Lord. We have nothing useful to contribute to society, nothing useful to say apart from the Lord." What if we truly believed this? What if we actually lived as if this were true? As if God's word were the center of everything, as if it alone were that which gives us life and all good things? What if we stopped looking for good, first of all, in trivial things like sports and Netflix and social media? What if we spent more time in God's word than we do on those trivial things? Now, I know that's a lot to ask. Our modern smartphones will give us reports of how long we spend staring at the screen, and it can be appalling if you look at it. I know that's a lot to ask, but maybe it's worth starting somewhere. Cut out 10 or 15 minutes that you would be spending on these things and devote that extra time to the Word. Because that which comes into our ears is what shapes and forms us into who we are. It is what comes out of us as well. And so if we are spending the majority of our time being shaped and formed by the trivial things of this world, then we should not be surprised that those are the things that come out of us and shape our behavior. But if we are shaped and formed primarily by the Word of God, well, that would have a profound impact on our lives, wouldn't it? And so if we want the full consolation that the gospel message of Jesus offers, if we want to be the kind of people who live in this world and impact others positively for eternity, that we must be people of God's word. God's word is where our faith begins, and God's word is where our faith is sustained. By his word alone was creation brought into existence. By his word alone are the deaf made to hear, the mute to speak. By his word alone, we are brought to faith. And by his word alone, we are sustained in that faith until the day when he fully and finally restores all of creation into the perfection of eternity. May the word of our Lord Jesus be that which sustains us unto that day. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.